two quick things before I open in a word of prayer. One is at the end of service, you'll have an opportunity to sign up for the adult fellowship dinner. It is going to be here at the church on Saturday night. It's $10 a head, and we're getting it catered from Anthony's Restaurant right over here around the corner. And basically, we're just having adults who want to kind of give the adults a night out together to spend time talking and fellowshipping. So if you don't know many people, it's a great place to get to know people. And if you do, it's a great time to come and spend some time with one another. Sounds like at last count, we probably have about 80, 85 people coming out to that. So we'd probably be comfortable at about 100. Anything over that might be a little uncomfortable because we're doing it right here in the church. So if you would like to sign up, please do sign up. And if you signed up but did not pay yet, they're also collecting money back there as well. Second thing is Mops and Moms Next. Mothers of Preschoolers and Moms Next meets this week. So if you can kindly help out after service by stacking the chairs, and we need about 8 or 9 tables shot up here into the sanctuary, that would be very, very helpful for us. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, find 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for each person that's here this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we get into your word, that it helps us to know you better. We pray that it inspires our hearts and just convicts us to change whatever we are doing that's in error. I'm just thankful again for everything that you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're in this series called SMH, Shaking My Head, When Christians Don't Act Like Christians. One of the blessings about studying through books of the Bible, this is a study of 1 Corinthians. One of the blessings about studying through books of the Bible is we'll kind of hit topics that we might not normally talk about, but they're things that the Lord talks about and things that we need to hear about. So in chapter 3, Paul is actually shaking his head because the church is not following Jesus, but they're following people. The church isn't following Jesus, but they're following people. This is a huge problem because Jesus not only wants believers to follow him, he also wants believers to build his church. The church is the people. The church are all people who believe in Jesus Christ. So our call as Christians is to go and tell, and the church is built when people come to know the Lord as their Savior. The reason why the church is so important to Jesus is because it's an extension of him on this earth. And although people will be born and people will die, people will come and go, so to speak, the church will remain. So we are just kind of like a blip on the radar, on the grand scheme of the timeline of the church. We are here for our time, and we're gone tomorrow. So the church will be here because it is made up of the people that trust in Jesus. So today, the topic really is kind of a charge to the church for the time that we are here to follow Jesus and not to follow after people. So when I say follow people, it doesn't mean we don't look to people for leadership, but it means we don't look to people when they're suggesting or promoting something that is contrary to what God teaches in his word. So the role of church leadership, actually my role and the role of any leader in our church, is to actually encourage and inspire people to follow after Jesus. But oftentimes people get confused and follow leaders. So interestingly enough, when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's no evidence that any of the named leaders that Paul names are doing it are leading people away from Jesus or purposefully leading people away from Jesus. But it seems that Paul is teaching this to the people because people have a natural sinful tendency to follow people rather than following after the Lord. So it's kind of like in the church, they were kind of like forming teams. Like, I like this leader, I like that leader, I'm going to follow him. And they were actually fighting amongst themselves. So Paul, then he kind of helps them to understand there is an error of following people. There's an error of following people. So we're going to look at a few things that Paul teaches. And the first, the error of following people actually stunts your spiritual growth. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And the error of following people stunts our spiritual growth. He says this, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? So what Paul does is he starts off and he says, hey, listen, you're living in the flesh. When I came to you 3 years ago, I taught you the basic truths of the faith. He calls this the milk of the word. So now he's saying, you know what? That's all you were ready for because you were newbies, okay? You were new to this. You didn't know the Lord. I taught you about the Lord. You came to know him and I taught you the basic things. But now he's saying 3 years later, when I'm writing a letter to teach you, I'm still teaching you basic things. You're still kind of sucking on the bottle because you're a bunch of babies and not actually following after me in a deeper way. Think about it this way. If you're 15 years old or have a 15-year-old and they were still eating baby food and drinking out of a baby bottle, would you think it was a little weird? Okay, I think it is a little weird. What Paul is saying is, listen, as a Christian, as a believer, at first you're going to deal with basic things. I'm going to teach you basic things. But then eventually you're going to start to learn the deeper truths of the faith. But Paul is saying, you know what? I'm still writing you about your petty little fights and your jealousy. I'm still writing to you about basic things. Their problem was this. They were looking to leaders rather than looking to Jesus. This is not to say that the leaders were teaching anything wrong, but they were off focus, okay? They were looking to follow the people rather than to follow the Lord. And Paul is saying, you know what? This isn't the way it should be. And it's actually stunting your spiritual growth. Your spiritual growth is being stunted and you're acting in an immature fashion. Have you noticed the world does this? Have you noticed the way the world is? And you know what? I'm only going to use this as an illustration because it's so pertinent and it's happening right now in our political climate, right? People align with one political leader, right? And everything that person does is right. And then they look at the other side and everything that person does is wrong. No matter which side you choose, people do that, right? People follow after a leader. They're like, I support everything he does, or I support everything she does, or I'm against everything he or she does. But the truth be told is this. How can we just follow one person and think that everything that they say or do is correct? It actually shows that you're immature and you're not wading through the issues and you're not looking at the whole picture. I may agree with some things here and I may agree with some things there. Neither are 100% right or neither are 100% wrong. So Paul's saying, you know what? This is happening in the church. It's happening in the church. And he's saying, that shouldn't be. Your focus should be in Jesus and everything should be weighed by what he says. So what I suggest for us as Christians is we follow Jesus and not people. That's why I'm always talking about having a personal time, like do your devotions, read the scriptures on your own, spend time praying on your own. Okay, you come here on Sundays and I'm glad you do and I prepare a message for you and stuff, but it shouldn't end there. It shouldn't be like, okay, that's where I get my Bible, half an hour a week, Pastor Mike spoon feeds me, explains everything to me, and then I go home and that's it. No, that shouldn't be the way it is. I hope this is beneficial and I'm hoping this is helpful to you. But it should just be part of your spiritual life. It should be part of your spiritual life. You shouldn't follow only the things that I teach. We have so many resources at our fingertips right now. We live in a day and age where you can read the Bible on your phone. You could have devotions on your phone. You can listen to some of the best pastors in the world speak messages from God's word. Take advantage of those resources. Don't let your spiritual growth be stunted by just following after one or two people or just thinking, you know what, I only agree with what so-and-so says and I don't agree with what anybody else says. way through to see what God has to say in his word to you personally. The second thing that Paul says is an error of following people is this. It actually divides the work of the church. It divides the work of the church. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. He says this, "What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed as the Lord assigned to each." Then he says this, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building." Here's what happens. When we start to just follow leaders, it actually divides the work up. It divides the work of the church, and it undermines the work that God is doing, and it also undermines the work that the leaders have done, because the leaders are trying to point people to Jesus. That's what Paul and Apollos and Cephas and all the other early church leaders are doing. We're trying to point you to Jesus, but you're identifying with us and following us. Paul's saying, that should never be. He says basically like this. He says, you know what? Those of us who do the work, we're nothing. Now, that's not a popular message in this culture, right? Because our culture says, oh, you know, you're all so important. You're all snowflakes. You're intricate, right? That's what our culture says, okay? And I'm not saying you're not important. Don't get me wrong. Don't leave church and be like, that pastor told me I'm not important. But here's the thing. Think about it this way. Over the course of human history, over the course of just even the 2,000 years of the church, how significant am I? How significant are you? What's way more significant than us? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, he's saying this, we're used by God to bring glory to God. We're used by God to bring glory to God. Don't think you're so much more important than you actually are. You know, for me as a pastor, it's always a head shaker when people will say this, and this hasn't happened to me in a long, long time, but people will say this, if I leave this church, people will follow me. Like, what a head shaker, okay? You know what? That person's filled with pride. That person's filled with pride. And unfortunately, they have a need to be needed. And what I really feel like saying is, what kind of sick person are you? What kind of sick person are you? Don't you care about the work of the church? Don't you care about people knowing about Jesus? This seems to be all about you and people following you. And it should never be that way. So here's what Paul does. He uses this farming illustration, and most of the people then could understand the farming illustration, but I think we can as well. He says, hey, listen, I planted and Apollos watered, and then God brings about the harvest. So we're working together. Imagine if Paul was like, I planted, and I really hope Apollos messes up this whole watering thing. I don't really want Apollos to be successful and water. I want the seeds to die. I don't want any harvest. What kind of foolish individual would ever say that? But you know what? The farmhands, they're all working together for what? For the harvest. That's you and I. That's all church leaders. We should all be working together to bring glory to Jesus. It's so unbelievably important that this happens. So our goal in our service to the Lord is to make people think more about the Lord, to make people focus more on the Lord. And if we don't, here's what happens. It actually divides the work of the church. The church work can't get done. So when we err and follow people, not only does it stunt our spiritual growth, but it divides the work of the church. The next thing it does is this. It causes us to miss rewards. It causes us to miss rewards. Let's look at verses 10 through 15. Verses 10 through 15 says this. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Now, this is pretty interesting because this is actually talking about the doctrine we believe of eternal rewards. And here's what I want to say. First and foremost, he says, I laid the foundation. Know this, any church, this needs to be the foundation, the message of Jesus Christ. I am so pleased for the fact that our church for the past 40 years, the foundation of our church is the message of Jesus Christ. The fact that we are sinners and Jesus came to die for us sinners. That Jesus rose again 3 days later and Jesus offers the gift of eternal life to all who believe. That is the foundation of this church. That should be the foundation of every church. The foundation of the church isn't, oh, we try to correct all the ills of society. Oh, we try to feed all the people. Oh, we get involved in social justice. We can do those types of things, and those things might really be helpful, but if they're not to point people to the message of Jesus, we're in error. There's no real true foundation. So Paul is saying, listen, this is the foundation. But then he goes on to talk about this reward thing, which some people get kind of confused about, but I want to just touch on a little bit. I preached some sermons on end times some years ago, so it's all on the website. You can check it out. But what he's saying here is when you do work for the glory of Jesus, it's like gold and precious stones. When you do the work for the glory of yourself, for your own personal gain and own personal motives, it's like wood, hay, and straw. And at the day that you stand before Jesus, those works are either going to last for eternity or they're going to be burnt up. The scripture says this, the person will be saved, but as by fire. So that means this, yeah, you're a Christian, you're going to be in eternity with God, but those works that you did for yourself are going to be burnt up and forgotten. But the works that you did for the Lord are going to result in rewards. Now, this is where people push back because they say, I can't believe in rewards in heaven because heaven is perfect, right? And if somebody else has cooler stuff than me in heaven, then it's not going to be perfect because I'm going to be jealous of their cooler stuff. And granted, in our sinful nature, I would agree. But we also have to remember where these rewards are placed. And I believe what the scripture teaches is that there will be a millennial reign of Christ, a 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. And all the believers who were faithful in little things here on this earth will be given much during that millennial time. Meaning this, God will give you a position of responsibility and maybe authority in that reign. He'll reward you. You know, we look at that, he who is faithful, little will be given much. We say, oh yeah, that's money, you know. If you go $10, God will give you $1,000 if you're faithful with the 10. That's, you know, there's more to that. There's more to that. If you're faithful here doing the work of the Lord, God will reward you with greater rewards in that millennial time. And those rewards will be a greater position for him to reign with him and to serve him. Like I said, there's much to be said about that, but here's the point. If we waste our days here, we're actually missing time that we could be rewarded for. Think about this. This is a very sobering thought. What do you do each day that has eternal significance? I know this is probably the worst day to ask this question because most people will spend about 4 hours today in front of the TV watching a football game, okay? And I'm not speaking out against football. But here's the point. Think about your days. What do you do in your day that has an eternal significance? It's convicting to me. Even as a pastor, as a Christian, I look and say, man, what did I do today that really had like staying power, lasting power? What did I do today that had eternal significance? You know what? I believe that we'd be different people if we thought that each day when we woke up. What can I do today that's going to have an eternal significance. You know, we do so much for ourselves. We do so many things that, you know what? I believe that we're borderline wasting our time. You know, the scriptures in James says that our time here, the 80 years, 80 plus years that we live on this earth, are like a mist in comparison to eternity. You know what? As your pastor, I don't want you to miss opportunities. I don't want you to do things that have no eternal significance. My prayer and desire for you is to do things that actually have an eternal significance. And God has placed you here in this church to work together, to follow the Lord, to do things that have eternal significance. But you know what? The next error of following people, and this is a sad thing, it actually destroys the local church. When you follow people, it actually has the power to destroy the local church. And let me look at verses 16 through 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17, he says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple." So now here in the Greek, in the original language, the "you" is plural, so it's talking about the church collectively. Later on in 1 Corinthians, we'll talk about you being God's temple as far as you housing God's Holy Spirit personally. But this passage is actually talking about the church collectively. And he's saying, listen, here's what happens. Here's what happens. You are God's holy temple as the church. And the point of these verses is the church is about following the Lord. And if the church is about following people, it will eventually destroy itself. And then let's take this to the next level, because then it says, and God will destroy it. This might be a reference to sometimes that a church has so much inner turmoil and so many problems that God actually chooses to close the doors of the church. Now, I, as a pastor, have seen many churches close their doors. And it's a sad day when you see a church close its doors. But if the church is not focused on Jesus Christ, it should actually close its doors, because it might be doing more harm than it is doing good. It reminds me of a story I read about Gandhi, Muhammad Gandhi. Many of you know him. He's a noted person. Muhammad Gandhi is one of the most respected leaders of modern history. He's a Hindu. As a Hindu, Gandhi, nevertheless, he admired Jesus. So a lot of times when you see quotes from Gandhi, they kind of seem like Jesus. Like they seem like what Jesus would say. And he quoted Jesus a lot. And one time, a missionary, his name was Stanley Jones, actually asked Gandhi. He had the privilege of talking with him and asking him. And he said, "Gandhi, though you quote the words of Christ often, why is it that you appear so adamantly rejecting becoming a Christian? You reject becoming a Christian." He asked him this. And Gandhi actually said to him, he said, "I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike your Christ." So he's saying, you know what? You Christians are not doing a great job in emulating Christ, but there's more to the story. Apparently, Gandhi's rejection of Christianity grew out of an incident that happened when he was a very young man practicing law in South Africa. If you know anything about South Africa, decades ago, there was a lot of political turmoil, and there was a class system and racism and everything. So Gandhi was there studying law. He became attracted to the Christian faith. He studied the Bible and the teachings of Jesus and was seriously exploring becoming a Christian. So he decided to attend a church service. He's like, "I'll go to church." As he came up to the steps of this large church where he intended to go to church, a white South African elder of the church barred his way from going into the doors. And he said, "Where do you think you're going?" And Gandhi said, I'd like to attend worship here." And the church elder snarled at him and said, "There is no room for your kind in here. And if you don't leave, my assistants will throw you down the steps." So from that moment on, Gandhi said he decided to adopt what was good, that he found in Christ's teaching. And he would never again consider becoming a Christian if it meant being part of a church. I don't know about you, but that church should probably have closed its doors. because they're doing more harm than good for the cause of Christ. See, the mission and foundation of the church must always be Jesus, not a political message, not a strong charismatic leader in his or her ideas, and not popular belief of the culture. Okay? In that time, obviously that church was kind of under popular belief of the culture. Good and bad races. That's basically what was happening. And they adopted that. And apparently somebody standing at the door said, you stay out. So there's two things that we really have to understand here. It's first of all, we don't follow people because it will actually harm the work. But second of all is this. And if you're here and you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus yet, please, please, please heed to this. Do not judge Christ based upon his followers, okay? We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do dumb things. We're all going to say dumb things. Don't judge Christ based on that, because that's what Satan wants. Satan wants to put that wall between you and Christ by saying, oh, look at the Christians, they're bad too. And I'll tell you this much, there's a lot of bad Christians out there. There's a lot of us who do really dumb things and make really bad mistakes. Please don't look at them and judge Christ by them. So when we follow the ideas and mandates of people, the church will either destroy itself or Jesus might say, you know what, let's close its doors. Let's be done with it because its focus is all off. But then finally, the error of following people is this. It causes us to miss out on God's wisdom. Let's look at verses 18 through 23. It says, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. So now what he's saying is this final thing is this. When we follow the error of people, here's what's going to happen. We're going to miss out on the wisdom of God. He's saying, don't deceive yourself by thinking you're so smart, but also don't follow the deception of other people. Other people will try to deceive you. And there's a few reasons why they might. One is purely just ignorance. They think they know the truth, but they don't. And then they teach other people what they think is truth, but they're actually leading people astray. They're ignorant to what the truth is, and they think they're doing good by teaching other people that false truth. The second thing is some people may deceive us out of selfish gain. They want something out of it. Okay, this is pretty common to us when we see these infomercials and different things on the internet. Oh, buy this and you'll lose 100 pounds. Buy this and you'll be buff and in shape. Get this. Like, you know what I mean? Put it this way. I'll just tell you this. If it seems too easy, it's probably too easy, okay? It's probably too easy. It's probably not true. And then some people might deceive you for purely evil intentions. Some people might just have evil intentions to bring down the work of the church. You know, I said this a few weeks ago, and I'll say it again. If you're here to cause problems, we don't want you. I hate to say it so bluntly, but it's the truth. If you're here, if your desire is to cause problems within the body of Christ, this is not the place for you. This is not the place for you. But if you came in here and said, yeah, I have evil intentions, I'm going to cause problems, here's what I need you to do. I need you to confess that and turn to Jesus and use what influence or whatever it is that you have to serve Jesus. So Paul wants the church to stay away from all of that man's wisdom that might deceive us. I'll tell you this. We're not anti-wisdom from people, but I'll tell you this. When we hear something that seems wise from people, here's what we do. We take it and filter it through the scriptures, and if it proves true through the scriptures, then we know that it can be true to us from God. So when we follow people and pursue man's wisdoms, the truth is, though, we will miss out on God's wisdom. So spend time looking for God's wisdom, and we look to his wisdom from his word, and we look to his wisdom from our time in prayer with him. So then Paul concludes this by reminding them this simple truth. We have everything we need in Christ to move forward as believers. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. I thank you for everything you've done for us, and I just pray, Lord, that as we go about today, that you would just help us to fully understand what your church means in this community. I'm just thankful for each person that's here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask Chris to come up. We're going to close in a song. If I can ask you all to rise.